This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is 38 ayes to 6 nays.
Thank you. The motion is approved, and the bill is favorably reported to the House with the motion that do pass.
With that, the House Ag Committee passed a bill Wednesday morning that could repeal the now offending country of origin labeling law. The move is meant to preempt any retaliation measures by Canada or Mexico now that the U.S. is found to be out of compliance with international trade laws. Not everyone is on board. House Ag Ranking Member Colin Peterson of Minnesota.
I think we should take some time and figure out what's going on in these other countries. Is there some other way for us to deal with this so we can actually come to a resolution that will avoid what all of us want to avoid, and that is the retaliation.
Peterson saw other challenges ahead.
I don't think the Senate will be able to pass a repeal, and they're the ones that brought this into the situation in the first place in 2008. So I think we need to look at the big picture and work together to come up with a solution that will get us where we want to get and resolve this issue.
The longtime ag supporter was in the minority this time. Livestock Subcommittee Ranking Member Jim Costa of California cautioned against the repercussions if COOL were to remain the law of the land.
Let's be clear right now. This today is no longer about labeling. This is to ensure that we aren't dealt a devastating impact to our agriculture economy through economic tariff retaliations. It's happened before. With yesterday's ruling by the World Trade Organization, we now face, within months, harsh retaliations from two of our largest trading partners, Canada and Mexico.
Schedules are such that the bill is unlikely to make it to the House floor until June. There's no word on when the Senate might consider a similar measure. A looming deadline is fast approaching for U.S. soy's competitive advantage. By the end of December, construction is scheduled to wrap up on a major expansion of the Panama Canal. The bigger canal will give exporters the opportunity to more efficiently move products, such as U.S. soybeans, to end users in China and other countries. For U.S. soybean farmers, it's crucial for exports to be efficient, especially to a country like China, according to Larry Merrick, soy checkoff farm leader from Iowa.
Nearly one-fourth of our soybeans grown in the United States gets exported to China. They have a rapidly changing economy, and the people there are eating more meat. They need soy as part of their diet for their livestock, as well as human consumption.
In order to take full advantage of the expanded canal, however, U.S. ports will need to maintain depths of 45 to 50 feet to accommodate the larger ships that will be able to use the canal. These larger ships can hold an additional 500,000 bushels of soybeans per load compared with current ships. Soy checkoff farmer leader from Wisconsin explains the importance of good infrastructure for U.S. farmers.
We have to move our product. We live in an international market. We have a world market for our soybeans. We have to get them from the farm to the elevators, then to all our markets overseas. So if we don't have good infrastructure, we can't get them there.
For more information on the importance of transportation for U.S. soy exports, you can visit unitedsoybean.org. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. Weed scientists from the University of Illinois have been trying to help farmers manage the inevitable development of herbicide resistance for more than two decades. Todd Gleason reports there is now proof which advice actually works.
Plants are quite capable, by the way, of evolving. Weeds like water hemp have evolved. These weeds are resistant to some of the herbicides used to control them. It was thought by many weed scientists this evolution would take place much more quickly with the overuse of any particular active ingredient. So extension specialists like Aaron Hager from the University of Illinois promoted the rotation of herbicides and modes of action. They didn't have proof this would work, but now they do, with qualifications.
We realized that there really were not a lot of empirical data to describe how effective these actually were on a very large landscape level. And so we undertook a project several years ago, it was started, to try to determine which may be some of the better recommendations that actually do slow this evolution, perhaps better than other recommendations would. And one specific one that we looked at was, okay, which might be more effective? Is it more effective for a farmer to rotate herbicides either within a given year or between years? or is a more effective strategy yet to actually use tank mix combinations of herbicides every time an application is made?
Using the records of a retail applicator, the scientists poured through more than 500 site years worth of field-level data. The final analysis included 66 variables for each of the fields surveyed for the presence or absence of glyphosate-resistant water hemp.
To make a long story short, what the analysis really showed was that the most important determination of whether or not glyphosate resistance was present in any particular field was the management.
The management of the field as a whole, not just as it related to glyphosate.
Really, the thing that was a bit surprising to us was the fact that simply rotating herbicides either within a year or perhaps even between years really did not have a positive effect on the occurrence of glyphosate resistance. As a matter of fact, by simply rotating one herbicide 1 year to another the next year, the incidence of resistance was actually higher compared with areas where we had used multiple effective tank mixtures for applications made to that particular population.
Aaron Hager concludes the best way to slow evolution of glyphosate-resistant water hemp is to expose any given population to more than one effective herbicide every time an application is made. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.